and welcome to the Midday.
It's Norman and Vicky, and we have captured a conductor in between music festivals here, Stephen Alltop, who is just coming off from the Green Lake Festival of Music.
Good afternoon. It's nice to be here, yes.
Thank you for coming by. And you're on your way to the Peninsula Music Festival eventually in
That's right. In 2 weeks, the Peninsula Music Festival will get going up in Door County, and I'm so privileged and happy to be a part of both of these wonderful festivals in Wisconsin.
You're not only a conductor. As I noticed at the concert yesterday, you're a conductor and a singer and
a keyboard player. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I wouldn't forget the keyboards.
Well, first of all, you may have witnessed me singing in a piece yesterday towards the finale when my assistant conductor Cal Metz conducted. But I usually just sing to my ensembles and my children, not to the public. But I do play the organ and the harpsichord and enjoy that very much.
But that piece was irresistible, wasn't it, to sing with cantus? Oh,
yes, that was particularly fun. At the finale of yesterday's Green Lake Choral Festival, we had this 8-member vocal ensemble from the Twin Cities, all-male professional ensemble named Cantus. And they sang some numbers on their own, and then we collaborated at the end on some pieces especially chosen to feature four-part male writing, such as My God, How Wonderful Thou Art and Balm of Gilead and The Battle of Jericho, arranged by Moses Hogan. And so, yes, I got to jump in there in Balm of Gilead and stand between a couple amazing basses and pretend that I had a bigger voice than I actually do.
It sounds like you're going to hold your own.
Brought the walls down.
That's right.
So, we thought it would be interesting to talk about conducting and all the music festivals. Summer seems to be the time for festivals, and especially in Wisconsin.
Yes, such a rich array of music. And I know both at Green Lake and at the Peninsula Festival, they offer such a wide variety. Festivals are meant to just celebrate the art without all of the constriction sometimes of marketing, although obviously all of that still goes into it. But it's a bit more of a pure celebration of the art. And I think for musicians, that makes summertime particularly enjoyable. I know it does for me.
Mm-hmm. And the Green Lake Festival has several different components. There's a lot of chamber music, but there's also a choral institute. And you invite in people from quite a ways away, I think, and work with them all week?
Yes. It's a situation where folks who want to come can and do come. And it's just amazing that given that there's not a strict audition component to the festival, we get a very fine group of choral singers. And I think what ensures that is that people who just love the choral art, who want to give themselves up for 4 days, rehearse intensely, learn more, grow, have a good time. Those are the sort of people that tend to be good choral singers anyways. And so they come. This year we had over 50 participants from as far away as Wyoming and Colorado. Lots of folks from some of my connections in Elmhurst, Illinois, where I conduct the Elmhurst Symphony and the Apollo Chorus, and other new friends I've made around the central Wisconsin area from Sheboygan and Beaver Dam, and we've been coming together now for 4 years. This is my fourth year. David Wilcox did the festival there for 20 years. So there's a long choral tradition, and I knew I was stepping into a very auspicious shoes, if you will. It's been my pleasure to sort of take it a new direction, more in keeping with my own interests. As you noted, we did Monteverdi, everything from Monteverdi to contemporary American choral music by Eric Whitaker and Daniel Gothrop, and that really makes me happy to have that kind of variety.
Speaking of variety, what have we here?
You brought a new CD for us. This features the Apollo Chorus, and you say this is one of the most recent CDs of theirs.
Yes, this CD was released in late November of 2006, and this is the Apollo Chorus and Orchestra of Chicago. It's Handel's Complete Messiah on the Clarion label.
And this is from Part 2?
This is from Part 2, right after that blustery bass aria, Why Do the Nations Rage? Handel immediately takes the music into a chorus, Let Us Break Their Bonds. And it's a fun but very difficult chorus, some of the tightest counterpoint that you'll ever encounter from Handel. And I think the chorus has a lot of fun with presenting this, the energy of this chorus. So I'd love for your audience to hear it.
Let us break, let us break, let us break, let us break.
from a performer's standpoint, as Samuel Johnson would say, one could not wish it longer. That would be a, it would be hard to carry that on for very long.
Diction, diction, diction.
Yes, fast and counterpoint and all those words.
Yes, it brings to mind many hours of rehearsal, actually.
But the organization has been rehearsing for a long time, which is to say, what, 130?
Well, the Apollo Chorus is 135 years old. It was founded in 1872, the year after the Great Chicago Fire. So one can imagine the city in quite a rebuilding mode, and not only needing to rebuild the structure of the city, but its spirits and civic pride. And that's how what was at that time known as the Apollo Musical Club came about. And for the first few years, it was men only, until they wised up and realized they could do a lot better in many different ways, including socially, if they admitted some real sopranos and altos. And from about 1879 on, the chorus has performed Messiah every year, and we're well into our 200s now in terms of number of performances. Although, interestingly, we did not do a complete performance, uncut, until the year 2000, and that was the year we did the 200th performance. And I remember Patrice Michaels from the faculty at Lawrence University was my soprano soloist that year, one of my favorite artists to collaborate with. And it's interesting because Messiah is so well known, and yet we invest some time every year in trying to make it better. And I found it to be stimulating. I worried I'd get to a point where I just couldn't lift a baton to give a downbeat for Messiah, but that's never happened. Every year there's some new challenge to it.
Did you ever listen to that Mozart version of it? What do you think of that?
Yes. Oh, well, that's a very interesting. First of all, whenever you have one great composer working with the music of another, whether it's Mahler working with Beethoven or Mozart working with Haydn, you get a very interesting perspective. And with the use of the clarinets and trombones, you get more of that classical sound, and one of these days we'll do that too. I know in their history they have. I've been music director with them for 10 years now, and I haven't done that version yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of musical organizations that have a long history, also Peninsula Music Festival has been around for a while.
Yes, indeed. We passed our 50th anniversary milestone several years ago. And yet it's so interesting. I know the music director, Victor Yampolsky, and I just revel every year in looking at the programming, because we keep careful records of what has been performed. This is a festival that was founded in the tradition of Moravian summer festivals by Thor Johnson way back when. And they've kept careful records of the repertoire. And we love sitting down and looking every year at all the pieces that are receiving their first performances at the Peninsula Music Festival. Now, that's happened a lot recently, because in the past decade, the orchestra has expanded from a chamber orchestra to really a full-scale symphony orchestra. So this year, for instance, we're doing Nielsen Symphony No. 5 and Mahler Symphony No. 1, somewhat standard fare for large symphony orchestras, but they're first performances.
I would think, yes.
Yes, and we're blessed with a fantastic acoustic in the Door County Auditorium there, just the perfect size auditorium and orchestra to come together. So, happy situation.
And the orchestra's made up of people who come from all over the country, principal players, and just tell us a little bit
about
that.
Exactly. Well, just for instance, in the wind section, you have members of the Baltimore Symphony, the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. You have members of Lyric Opera of Chicago playing in the orchestra. We've had St. Louis Symphony, Montreal Symphony, San Francisco Symphony, folks who have asked for the time, like our principal percussionist who will play the fabulous snare drum solo on Nielsen Symphony No. 5, Doug Howard. He's a member of the Dallas Symphony, and he divides his summer between Dallas Symphony activities and the Aspen Festival, and then he comes faithfully to Door County and has for over two decades, probably almost three decades, Doug has been coming to play. And that's a real indication of what the festival orchestra is like. You have people who have come for years and years, and they get together, and it's like they never left. From the previous 49 weeks, they just start playing with such cohesion. It's really remarkable.
Pick up where they left off. And let's see, we have some more.
Some more music. This is, well, this features the woman you just mentioned here, Patrice Michaels.
Patrice Michaels, a fabulous soprano on the faculty at Lawrence University, who has also been a soloist at the Peninsula Music Festival and with the Apollo Chorus in Chicago on numerous occasions.
But this is the Classical Arts Orchestra. What organization is that in Chicago?
This was an orchestra of players playing period classical instruments. And many people are familiar with Baroque instruments that play at the A being 4/15, a half step lower than modern pitch. The classical period orchestra plays right in between 4/15 and 4/40 at 4/30, which if you're standing at your piano is that little black space between the keys, between the G-sharp.
Hard to play along.
Yeah, between the G-sharp and the A. You have to have very special instruments. The wind and brass instruments have much fewer keys and valves. They have a very distinctive sound. And this disc represented five singers that Mozart knew and wrote music for, and other great composers such as Stephen Storace or Antonio Salieri, and in this case, Vincent E. Martin wrote music for. So it brought to life these divas that Mozart knew from his day, and Patrice had the showdown complete with costumes and dialogue and historical background. And we have a very lovely aria here by Martini Soler, and it also features the clarinet in a wonderful way.
Composers you don't hear from so often, but had some nice stuff out there.
Indeed, indeed.
His name, Vicente Martini y Soler.
Y Soler, exactly.
And that was Patrice Michaels, the soprano with the Classical Arts Orchestra, and our guest today on Midday, Stephen Alltop, conducting. And moving on to something a little different from, let's see, another soprano, actually, Julianne Baird, and this is just trumpet and organ here, no
yes.
orchestra.
I like to work with sopranos, I guess. Uh-huh. And Julianne, recorded a couple of CDs with Julianne Baird, one music of Antonio Caldara, including the operetta or the small opera for four women called The Card Game by Caldara. And then a disc with the trumpeter Darren Kelly, Baroque Arias, which we recorded about 5 years ago in Philadelphia. And this particular aria is particularly brilliant from the Handel opera Amadigi. And it shows off the duet of the soprano and the trumpet, and really the trio of the soprano, trumpet, and organ together, I think, to good effect. It's quite fun. Thank you.
A combination that works nicely.
Thank you. Julianne Baird, the soprano, and Darren Kelly, trumpet.
And you, Stephen Alltop, were playing organ there, and that was an aria from Handel.
Handel's opera Amadigi on the disc Baroque Arias on the Albany label.
Yeah, it was a gorgeous...
Some truly Handelian turns in there, aren't there?
Yes, there are.
Little turns of phrase.
Exactly. He knew how to do a good dialogue between trumpet and voice, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And we were talking a little bit more about the Peninsula Festival and all of the goodies that we have to look forward to there. Interesting that there are three programs each, let's see, nine different programs over 3 weeks.
Concerts over 3 weeks. Three per week. They run from Tuesday, August 6th, all the way until Saturday, August 25th. And in that time, we're doing the last three Dvorak symphonies, a mini Dvorak fest. We have Midori, the famed violinist, coming for our season finale, playing the Shostakovich violin concerto with Mahler's First Symphony, an amazing program. In between, we have Baroque selections, guitar soloist Jason Vieux is coming. An Italian pianist, Maurizio Moretti, will play on the opening concert, Beethoven's First Piano Concerto. And one of the things I love to mention are the pre-concert talks. Five of the programs, and this is all spelled out on the Peninsula Music Festival website, five of the talks will have pre-concert talks, either with myself and Maestro Jan Polsky, or just one of us. And we just love that chance to talk more informally about the music that we're performing. I'm excited to talk about music of Grieg. Recently took a trip to Norway for the first time and saw the statues of Holberg and studied the background to the Holberg suite a bit, and I'm excited to do that with the festival strings. We have extra strings for the last week coming in, expanding the orchestra a bit for the pieces that week. And just such variety this year at the Peninsula Music Festival. And if people are interested, they can contact the office at 920-854-4060 or just go on the website.
And that is, what's the website?
music festival, I believe it's
.org.
Yes, I've always found it just through writing in Peninsula Music Festival, and it comes up really quickly.
And it's a wonderful, diverse array of programs here. It's just amazing. The Frank Almond, I know, is going to be performing in one of the concerts.
The concertmaster of the Milwaukee Symphony will be up to play a violin solo.
A percussionist?
Yes, Michael Burritt will be playing his own percussion concerto, which Victor Yampolsky collaborated with him in premiering at the Percussive Arts Society a couple years ago. And every concert is more like an event. There's some really exciting aspect to each program, and that tends to be the way the concerts at the Peninsula Music Festival are. But we know there's a wonderful connection to the Moravian Church up there in Door County, and it seems whenever we do Dvorak, people just come out of the woodwork.
Imagine that.
I know. And so doing Dvorak Symphonies 7, 8, and 9 is a sort of mini festival within a festival. We've done that a lot in the past decade or so. All the Brahms symphonies, all the Beethoven symphonies, all the Sibelius symphonies. I'm working my way through the Nielsen symphonies, one every 3 years or so. I did the fourth about 3 years ago, and I'm doing the fifth this year, which I'm very excited about. But you have to pretty much be a card-carrying Scandinavian to understand the sixth symphony, so I don't know if we'll ever get to that one. It's a little bleak, I gotta tell you.
Speaking of cards, you mentioned this musical card game. Not the only one, but this is the first time, I guess, I've heard of one from Caldara, who's an early composer.
That's right. We often hear the Stravinsky Jeu de Cartes, but a couple hundred years before, Antonio Caldara wrote this little opera, and the finale of this is for three sopranos and mezzo soprano, is just an awful lot of fun.
We'll find out who wins the card game, at least after we hear this. There's the finale, and a rapid-paced finale it is to a card game and an opera all rolled into one.
Quite genteel, after all.
That's right. We heard Julianne Baird, Patrice Dejarian, Laura Himes, and Judith Pennell as the soloists with the Queen's Band.
And Stephen Alltop conducting, and thank you very much for coming by and joining us for the midday, and we'll look forward to the Peninsula Music Festival and other musical ventures that you join us for in Wisconsin.
Thank you both very much. It was a pleasure to be here today.